A good morning to everyone. Congratulations to all of those who remembered to change the time on their clocks or who, like me, rely completely on my phone to do it for me. Otherwise, I would definitely struggle.
Now I have to change clocks.
Before we get into the service, I'd just like to acknowledge the traditional owners of this land with a welcome to country. So. As we gather to worship today, we acknowledge the Bunurong Boon Wurrung and the Wurundjeri Woi Wurrung peoples of the Eastern Kulin Nation as the traditional owners of this land, formerly known as Naam, for which sovereignty was never ceded. We pay our respects to elders, past and present, and Aboriginal elders of other communities with us today. We acknowledge the depth, richness, and history of Indigenous spirituality and all it can teach us about connecting with one another, the earth, the water, and all living things as we gather together today to worship. Welcome again, everyone, to our Palm Sunday worship. My name is William, for those of you who don't know me. I'll be leading the service today, and we're going to be having Nev delivering a reflection with us. Join together as we gather today in worship. It is only one week, but this week is a wilderness of emotion and heartbreak. Everything that could happen, happens. Celebration, betrayal, feasts, and love made real. Hearts are broken, and faith is questioned. It all happens here in this one week. It is a wildness that we know. We have wandered through it, and we come again today to find God never strays, but is hidden in every rock. God's reflection is in every puddle and every stream. God is in all these days, just as God will be part of every day of our lives. Great God, sometimes we are frozen in time. We feel like we can't move forward. We feel stuck and wonder if this is all there ever will be. In these wild moments, we most need to find your grace. And in your name, we pray for guidance. Amen. Please stand with me and sing our first song today, Who Is This Man?
So this is new to Austin, but there are plenty of us who know this song, so sing up.
Who is this man? Who is this man? Turning things upside down wherever he can. Who is this man? Who is this man? Stirring a soul ever since he began. Oh Lord, oh Lord, who is this man? He's breaking the law, disturbing the peace, and challenging everything we have held dear. Or does he fulfill the law, living by love? Is he the word of God, making it clear? Who is this man? Who is this man? Turning things upside down wherever he can. Who is this man? Who is this man? Stirring us all ever since he began. Oh Lord, oh Lord, who is this man? His friends are the young, the women, the sick, the ones on the edge of things he'll never win. Or is it God's way to love evermore? Open the door, he says, welcome them in. Who is this man? Who is this man? Stirring things upside down wherever he can. Who is this man? Who is this man? Stirring us all ever since he began. Oh Lord, oh Lord, who is this man? The greedy, the bad, the traitors, the poor, how can he be seen with the lean and the low?
Or is it God's way for all knowing our lives, treating us equally, loving us all? Who is this man? Who is this man? Stirring us all to learn wherever he can. Who is this man? Who is this man? Stirring us all ever since he began. Oh Lord, oh Lord, who is this man? He take the way of the cross, the loneliest path that could possibly be. How great was the pain he bore, bearing our grief. Yet he's alive today, setting us free. Who is this man? Who is this man? Turning things upside down wherever he can. Who is this man? Who is this man? Stirring us all ever since he began. Oh Lord, oh Lord, who is this man?
Our first reading today comes from Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 to 11. This is the story of when Jesus enters Jerusalem. When Jesus and his disciples came near Jerusalem, he went to the Mount of Olives and sent two ahead of them. He told them, "Go into the next village where you will at once find a donkey and her colt. Untie the two donkeys and bring them to me. If anyone asks why you're doing that, just say, 'The Lord needs them.' Straight away, he'll let you have the donkeys." So God's promise came true, just as the prophets had said. "Announce to the people of Jerusalem, 'Your kingdom is coming to you.' He is humble and rides on a donkey. He comes on the colt of a donkey." The disciples left and did what Jesus had told them to do. They bought the donkey and its colt and laid some clothes on their backs. Then Jesus got on. Many people spread clothes on the road, while others put down branches which they had cut from trees. Some people walked ahead of Jesus, and others followed behind. They were shouting, "Hooray for the Son of David! God bless the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hooray, for God is in heaven above." When Jesus came to Jerusalem, everyone in the city was excited and asked, "Who can this be?" The crowd answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee."
Do we have anyone who wants to join me down the front just for a quick chat? If I can tear you away from the fun activities you look like you've got back there, because it looks like you've got Play-Doh, which I completely understand. I probably can't compete with Play-Doh. Speaking, talking. Ah, there we go. Can everyone hear my voice all right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. How is everyone today? Good. What have we been up to this week? Not sure? School? I've got a question for you. Who here goes to school? Pop your hand up. Yeah? There we go. So who here has teachers then? Pop your hand up again. What about everyone else? Everyone else remembers teachers? Yeah? Okay. I've got a bit of a question today. How do you think teachers should act? Yeah? Go on.
Nicely.
Nicely, yes. I agree. It's very good. And here's another one. What do you think teachers should do? What do you think that they should be doing?
Teaching us.
Yeah, very good. Oh, did we have another one? That's all right. Okay, so teachers, they should act nicely to us, yeah? Or nicely in general, and they should be teaching us. Very good. Now, here's a bit of a strange one. Bear with me here. Now, I understand if we don't all know someone like this, but who thinks they know how a king or a queen should act? Yeah, a bit of a different question there, isn't it? Yeah, we don't, I mean, we do have a king, I guess, and we have had a queen. But who thinks that they'd act a little bit differently from a teacher? Yeah? How do you think they'd act?
Royal.
Royal, very good. And I'm sure there's lots of different thoughts as to how a royal person should act. And I'm sure it's probably quite different to how royal people do act, but that's all right. Politics, yeah. I won't try to talk about politics because I'll put you all to sleep. In today's story, we hear about Jesus, who is hailed as a king. So coming into town, and people think that Jesus is going to come in and he's going to bring armies and he's going to, you know, win battles and fight people and do all sorts of things and basically bring about victory for his people. But the way Jesus acts is actually very different from what a lot of people thought it was going to be. And I think that comes back to the fact that what Jesus was as well was actually a teacher. And I think you're spot on when you say that teachers should be nice, and all the teachers I know are amazing people. And so I think it took people a little bit by surprise when Jesus came into town and instead of acting like a king at the head of an army conquering countries, Jesus came in. And in the reading we just heard from Elsie, Jesus came in not on a big parade, not riding on top of a huge stallion or anything like that, didn't come in a car or anything, but Jesus came in riding a donkey, considered a very lowly creature. And so Jesus came in not to conquer, but to teach. And I think that's very important because I think we can learn a lot more about life and how to treat each other by being nice to each other and learning and teaching each other. Thank you so much. I'm sorry to have torn you away from the fun activities back there, but I hope you can get back and enjoy them. Thanks for listening to me, guys. We come now to a time of community news. So please feel free to stand up and come and use the microphone if you have anything you'd like the congregation to know about, or anything for us to keep mindful in prayer.
This is not earth-shattering, so you won't be upset, probably. We decided we have to sell our house. It's just a bit much at the moment. So if we can sell it, we'll move not very far to Kingsville, to a Uniting Church complex where they have independent living, and we'll downsize. That'll be the challenge. So that if we can sell it, that'll happen when we sell it. But not here.
Bill, what's the name of the place?
That's the Uniting Church.
Agewell?
It's Agewell. It's the Uniting Church complex, which is relatively new. It's on Geelong Road, but the independent living, this is like a tour, isn't it? It's on a side street. So you don't stare at Geelong Road.
I'll leave it to you to talk about that one. Yes, just an update on the house next door. On Friday night, four young people moved in, one female, three males, all South American, one from Chile, Francisco Fernandez, called Pancho. The other three are from Colombia, Sarah, Juan, and Matthias, Matthew, John, and Sarah. Two of them are brothers and studying in they're all doing English first, and then they're staying for a few years, they say, and then doing construction and management, things like that. So, yes, they were being kind of kicked out, so desperate. They signed up and moved on Friday night in the rain. They don't have much things of belongings, so need to help them out, get a bit more furnishing things to help them settle in properly. But they're up, huh? Yeah. Well, I have to have time to meet, to see what they particularly need. There's a couple of things I know, but it's up to them to kind of agree if they want them. I have offers of free beds and other things that are a bit short of from other people in the neighborhood, and maybe some appliances like microwave and things are useful things to have. Anyway, over time, probably get to meet them. They've been invited to community meals. They might turn up tomorrow night, or even I've invited them for morning tea if they want to come. So anyway, that's the start. So the last lease finished on Friday, and we had people in on Friday back to back. So, and we are managing ourselves at the moment, so there's no estate agents involved for the time being. Someone like Fernandez has only been here a month, so some of them are not really familiar how to do things. I don't even know they're familiar how to get utilities or electricity and things, so I'm trying to make sure that they get on with it and do these things and offer help so that they just don't, because they've been, some of them living places where everything was provided, so they don't have good understanding of some things, whereas Sarah's been here a year, so she's more clued, but yeah, that's it.
The Palm Sunday March is on again for refugees today, 1:30 at the State Library. And although there has been progress with people potentially moving from temporary protection visas to permanent, there are still a lot of people that will fall between the cracks and are falling between the cracks, and at least 150 people still stuck on Nauru and Manus. So 1:30 at the State Library with a walk to the Parliament Gardens. Yes, I'll be there. What am I here for? What am I saying? Yes. That was going to be one of my announcements. On Thursday, those who are not involved in the study with Nev, there may be one or two of you or a few, families are welcome, at the Pilgrim Uniting, where we're having a Maundy Thursday service. Pretty much around a table, depending on numbers. So it will involve optional foot washing and readings and Taizé songs and also communion. So if you like the thought of a very gentle service where we leave quietly at the end, realising we're moving into Good Friday, you're very welcome. It's a 7 p.m. service and Pilgrim Uniting is just up the road, and then we'll be with them the next day, won't we?
So it's lovely to have Anne back, and hopefully soon Mark will be well enough to come back post-COVID, and we'll look forward to seeing him as well. And again, just a reminder, at the same time on Thursday night, there's the Lenten Bible study, 6:30 for just a simple soup and rolls, and then 7 to 8, we have a study, Bible study, focusing on one of the Psalms. And again, it's 7 p.m, isn't it, at Pilgrim?
Yes.
As well. Don't forget, Good Friday service starts early. It begins at 9:30 up at St. Augustine's Catholic Parish Church, which is 71 Somerville Road, and then we'll just walk from there down to Pilgrim and then down to here. And we'll conclude here with some hot cross buns. So be a part. It's a lovely way to join with these other two communities and do something ecumenical and really stand in solidarity together on Good Friday. We're really looking forward to next Easter Sunday, next week, and Catherine over here is going to be baptised, so we're very excited about that. We just have to get a nice sort of waterproof wrap around that dressing on her arm. And we're glad about that, but otherwise it'll just be a fantastic and a really appropriate sort of Easter Sunday service. So we hope that you'll be a part of that. That'll be a regular 10 a.m. service on Easter Sunday. Last Sunday, we had some really thoughtful conversation around some of the changes, impending changes towards the focus for some of our worship content, as well as the timing of some worship service, as well as the bigger picture of some of the things that came out of our threshold process. And that will begin after Easter. And we will publish basically an outline of what's exactly happening up to the end of July. So because there are some changes in timing of services, so there's two services on the second, on the second and the fourth Sunday will be at 5 p.m. So there will be some sort of getting used to that sort of change. So we'll make sure everyone's got a copy of that. I think everyone here should be on my mailing list. If you don't get notes from Nev, an email that I send out occasionally, please let me know, because this is the way that you'll be able to find out and know exactly what's happening and when it's happening as well. We have a little bit of a show and tell. So what I'm going to invite you is to come for a little walk with me. We have some lovely new gates. They're at the side of the property here that Jason has worked very, very hard on and installed. And we're going to have a little blessing. And we're just going to say thank you for the creative genius of Jason in manufacturing these, but we're going to give thanks to God for these new gates. So I want you to come out and have a look at them. So let's go.
The announcements, part two. I had, let me find my notes so I know what I'm saying. So for those who haven't caught it, I scored second degree burns to my whole forearm 2 weeks ago. So that's been my last 2 week journey. So it's kept me entertained in a way that I wish I wasn't. But it will be, there will be a way that it gets baptized next week. Separately, on Thursday, I'm having a procedure on my right foot to remove a cyst, or to hopefully remove a cyst. So that will also have some waterproof dressings on it. But that means that I'll be driving between services next Friday. So I have 4 spare seats in my car. If anyone else is needing a little bit of support in the non-walking department next Friday. And the last thing I said is I attended the Voice to Parliament night that Alison invited us to last week, and it was actually a phenomenal talk and a really great way to educate yourself from a person's mouth who experiences life and is an Aboriginal member, but also understands the constructs that we believe in that get us here most Sundays. There is a recording of it available, and it would be well worth a watch of at least the first 45 minutes, which is the talk, and then there was a whole Q&A time post, which if you're really engaged at that point, you can watch the other 45 minutes, but if not, actually the talk would be a really great place to start. Yeah. I can make sure the link ends up with Nev or send it to you personally. It's up on YouTube.
For those of you who missed the community meeting last week, and there were many, but I'm not bitter, you will have missed a terrific finance report which mentioned that many people have been reviewing their church giving, and I hope their other giving as well, in the light of their updated financial situation, whether up or down. But our offerings have been continuing to build up, and that was encouraging news. Now, perhaps as a symptom of my advanced years, I also forgot an important part of that, so that's what you're getting today, as well as offerings and manse rentals and kitchen rentals and so on and so on that are helping to fund all the church activities. There's a relatively new idea, which is interest-free loans. Various people have loaned currently $115,000 to the church, which the church is able to invest and gain interest on and not pay tax on. So if you got a few thousand dollars hanging around that's you while you're waiting to buy your next Lamborghini or house or something else that you don't need, the church can use it and can gain income. So we're getting something like, if that money stays there for the year, that'll be another $4,500 of income, which is good to have. So think about that. Talk to me or David if you think that might be something you can do. Normally it would, for now, let's talk about $5,000 or more. I probably don't want $50 at a go because it gets a lot of paperwork. And normally it would be returnable on, worst case, a month's notice, if that's what you want, unless we can, it could be longer if you like, but normally you can have it back definitely within a month and quite likely more quickly if you do need it.
I'd just like to say I actually really enjoy community news. I think it's a wonderful thing to have us come together and be able to share what's happening in each other's lives. And for someone who's not here every Sunday, it's wonderful to hear the various goings on and the things that are happening around the church. So thank you to everyone. Just before our next reading, we will accept your offering as well. We offer you our gifts. We offer our gifts to you, gracious God. We pray that you would use them to bring blessings to all in this world. Amen.
Our second reading is from Matthew chapter 27, beginning at verse 15. During Passover, the governor always freed a prisoner chosen by the people. At that time, a well-known terrorist named Jesus Barabbas was in jail. So when the crowd came together, Pilate asked them, "Which prisoner do you want me to set free? Do you want Jesus Barabbas or Jesus who is called the Messiah?" Pilate knew that the leaders had brought Jesus to him because they were jealous. While Pilate was judging the case, his wife sent him a message. It said, "Don't have anything to do with that innocent man. I've had nightmares because of him." But the chief priests and the leaders convinced the crowds to ask for Barabbas to be set free and for Jesus to be killed. Pilate asked the crowd again, "Which of these two men do you want me to set free?" "Barabbas," they replied. Pilate asked them, "What am I to do with Jesus, who is called the Messiah?" They all yelled, "Nail him to a cross." Pilate answered, "But what crime has he done?" "Nail him to a cross," they yelled even louder. Pilate saw that there was nothing that he could do and that the people were starting to riot. So he took some water and washed his hands in front of them and said, "I won't have anything to do with killing this man. You are the ones doing it." Everyone answered, "We and our descendants will take the blame for his death." Pilate set Barabbas free. Then he ordered his soldiers to beat Jesus with a whip and nail him to a cross. This is the word of the Lord.
particularly sobering verse there, so I'll be interested to hear Neville's thoughts on it after we sing our next song. So please stand and sing Lord of the Dance. Yes, if you'd like.
We just have a brief reflection around the text for today that really just will lead us into reflecting around the communion table together. Yaroslav Pelikan once observed that there are many in the historical sort of annals of who were part of the Roman Empire, who are remembered. We know Julius Caesar, Cicero, and Virgil. But the interesting thing is hardly anyone is remembered as well as Pontius Pilate. When you think about it, every day of the year, someone somewhere around the globe is repeating the Nicene Creed or the Apostles' Creed, and they'll be saying the words, "Jesus who was crucified under Pontius Pilate." So Pontius Pilate there for about 10 years was governor between 26-36 CE under the reign of Emperor Tiberius. And in this text, he comes to the centre of the stage. This is quite a dramatic moment. It's sort of the conflict or the battle of the two kingdoms. The one who has the power of Rome and has the authority and the responsibility and the opportunity to put this person to death, and the one who claims to introduce a new kingdom, a new way of living. It is probably the most dramatic political confrontation in all of Scripture. This interrogation of Jesus by Pilate at the Praetorium, along with the threefold declaration that Pilate brings of the innocence of Jesus, but none of this is enough to stop him being put to death. Pilate gets to the point where he has a choice. Does he try to pacify the mob? Does he try to please his own employer, who wants everything to be quiet and settled and in order? It is Pilate who determines the destiny of the prisoner Jesus. For the Jewish religious elite, Jesus was just this sacrilegious blasphemer. For the Romans, he's a troublemaker. He's the one who's upsetting things. So what is Pilate to do? I wonder if you've ever wondered yourself, what if Pilate had made another decision? What if he hadn't buckled under the demands of the religious leaders? What if he'd actually listened to his wife? What a difference that would have made if the disturbing dream that she had had and he respected that in some way. What if he hadn't just succumbed to what the religious and the politically motivated were wanting? What if he wasn't fearful of displeasing the crowd or fearful of losing his job? Well, Pilate may have ordered his death, the death that we come to remember around this table. But we never forget it was Jesus. It was Jesus who chose to declare the coming of God's kingdom through his words and through his deeds. It was the actions, it was the life, it was the ministry, it was the teaching, it was the words of Jesus that led to this confrontation, where Jesus declared in words and deeds the kingdom of peace, a kingdom of justice, a kingdom of radical and universal grace and freedom, a kingdom that was dramatically unlike the oppressive and violent empire that Jesus was challenging on that first Palm Sunday. So we know the story. Jesus is convicted. He's led out to be whipped and to be beaten and to be put to death. But we also know that even though he was aware of this impending doom, he unflinchingly started to move towards Jerusalem. And on that Palm Sunday, he mounts a donkey and he takes a ride that will lead him to his death. John's Gospel makes it pretty clear that the passion narrative in general and the trial before Pilate in particular were political and not just religious. Jesus' trial and Roman execution epitomised a clash between two kings, two kingdoms, and the allegiances that they both solicit from us. Remember the question Pilate asked? Are you king of the Jews? And the response, my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is from another place. Ah, so then you are a king, mocked Pilate. Yes, you are right in saying that. I am king. Pilate goes back outside to the mob. And there he declares that Jesus is innocent. But then he has his soldiers beat and flog and humiliate him in purple robes and crowns of thorns, befitting a man who Pilate has miscalculated was a political poser. Hail, O King of the Jews, they declare. Pilate thus finds himself sandwiched between the angry mob and betraying his employer, the emperor. When Jesus insisted that his kingdom was not of this world, he did not mean that it was merely spiritual. He didn't mean that it's just relegated to a future age beyond history or in heaven. Because Jesus announced and embodied what life would be like in his kingdom, a kingdom where there is peacemaking instead of warmongering, liberation, not exploitation, sacrifice rather than subjugation, mercy, not vengeance, care for the vulnerable instead of privileges for the powerful, generosity instead of greed, humility rather than hubris, embrace rather than exclusion. Have you ever thought about when we say the Lord's Prayer, for example, this might be one of the most subversive political statements that we all make. Your
kingdom come. Your will be done. This is a prayer of allegiance, a prayer to another ruler, the submission of ourselves to the one who claims to be king. Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the king?" Then Jesus says, "For this I came into the world, to testify to the truth." And we know it to be true. A truth that demonstrates genuine humility, surrender, and sacrificial love. A truth that doesn't secure its own prosperity at the expense of people's suffering. A truth that doesn't allow holy ends to justify debased means. A truth that doesn't make honesty optional when the truth strikes him as inconvenient. A truth that never aligns itself with brute, dishonest power to guarantee its own success. This is who Jesus is. This is our King, riding on a donkey. Will we stand for the truth as he does? Will we be bold enough to embody what we believe and declare, "Your kingdom come and your will be done"? The invitation of Jesus is to come to this table. We've already had, I think, the key reflection outside of what this table represents, this invitation for us to make our own choices about Jesus. And Jesus welcomes us and invites us to come. I want you to think for a moment about what it takes when a relationship breaks down for it to be restored. And I'm sure we've all got examples in our own lives where things, for one reason or another, have broken down. Where there have been things said or done or not done or not said that have bruised, that have angered, that have frustrated, that have deeply wounded or hurt us. I want you to think for a moment for those times where there's been a pathway back to some form of reconciliation, a pathway back to peace. A pathway back to wholeness. A pathway back to reconciliation that allows for engagement. It is often a very hard process. It often requires a place where we are willing to recognize the truth of our own behavior, our own words, our own actions. It often requires us coming to the place where we say, "I am sorry. And I ask for your forgiveness." It often requires a graciousness that, despite all the intensity of emotion, is willing to move beyond some of the hurt that we feel and to welcome and to receive and to forgive. This is the table that Jesus invites us to. He says, "This is the cup of the new covenant." This is a place where there is a new beginning, a new opportunity of relationship. And this is a place where there was great pain, where there was great suffering, but where arms are now outstretched and open and inviting us to come and to be reconciled to him, to be reconciled to one another, and to be reconciled to the world and the planet around us. So I invite you to come to this table of reconciliation, this table of a new beginning, this table where great pain has been experienced in order that we might know the liberation and hope of reconciliation. He invites you to come. This morning, as we eat the bread, we're just going to play some music. I'm going to offer you a piece of bread, and then we'll come and we'll get the cups ourselves or offer the cups to one another. But for the bread, I'll just come around and offer that to you. Because this is the body of Christ that is broken for you. we eat this in remembrance of him. That you might have life, the life of Christ poured out for you. I invite you to come and to offer one another these cups of this new covenant. Let's drink together in the unity of our love and faith in Christ. Lord, we thank you that you have made a pathway of reconciliation, a pathway of hope, a pathway to be able to return, to receive forgiveness, to receive the life and the hope and the grace that you bring. We remember again your broken body, your shed blood, your life poured out, that we might know that fullness of life today. And we thank you in your Son's name. Amen. It's appropriate at a communion service too that we welcome our new members, and I would like to invite Emma. Do you want to come out for a moment? Emma, it was such an absolute delight to share in your baptism and to hear again just the wonderful affirmation of the whole journey in your life, really the wonderful ways God's woven through that story, not only God's faithfulness in your life, but your experience of that and the way in which, in a sense, this baptism is just a significant moment in just really affirming that life with God in Christ. And we were just delighted to be a part of that. But it's also nice in a community of our worship service to be able to say, welcome. In a formal sense, into the life of the church and the community here at Westgate. Thank you. Wonderful. It's all yours.
May I welcome everyone to come and stand and sing our final song, Come to the Banquet.
To the banquet, there's a place for you. Though you maybe have no money, though you maybe feel unworthy in your strength or in your weakness, you are welcome. Come to the banquet, there's a place for you. See, you are an honored guest from Sustenance Serving. So sit you down. the banquet, there's a place for you. Woman, wise one, mother, maiden, see your plate with food is laden, and your place is set and waiting. You are welcome.
We believe that the Christ still travels the roads of human life and is never defeated by our humanness. We believe that we can carry love wherever we go and that our dreams of faithfulness can be given new possibilities in each day. We believe that here, in this place, we will find inspiration and encouragement that will lead us in our journey with Christ. Go now. Amen.